This is a great day for American workers and manufacturing, and for everyone who believes in the concept and the label Made in the USA.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thank you so much for listening. Taiwanese electronic giant Foxconn announced yesterday new plans to build a factory in Wisconsin. It's a move the company says could bring 3,000 jobs and up to $10 billion in total investment. Now, you just heard there, President Trump hosted Foxconn Chairman Terry Guo at the White House yesterday, where he took credit for the deal and for locating it in the swing state of Wisconsin.
Chairman Guo put his faith and confidence in the future of the American economy. In other words, if I didn't get elected, he definitely would not be spending $10 billion.
It's the president there from the White House yesterday. But reviving U.S. manufacturing was a big part of President Trump's 2016 campaign. Foxconn says the Wisconsin deal is the first of many investments in the U.S., but the details of the project remain unclear. In fact, a 2013 Foxconn plan to bring a high-tech factory to Pennsylvania and almost 500 jobs along with it never panned out. Here with more on the Foxconn deal and what the move means for U.S. trade policy and for the politics of U.S. manufacturing is Heather Long. She's with The Washington Post. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
What exactly does Foxconn do, and how important is this new announcement of a factory in Wisconsin?
It's really important in Wisconsin. I was actually there on the ground in Paul Ryan's district in May because I was covering the fact that General Electric was taking just 350 good manufacturing jobs and moving them to Canada. So that area of Wisconsin really needed a win on manufacturing jobs. And boy, did they seem to deliver with this Foxconn to deliver 3,000 jobs. If you actually listen to the press conference yesterday, a couple of them, including the governor of Wisconsin, Governor Walker, mentioned that it may be as many as 13,000. Now, there's a lot of skepticism if that will pan out. But that looks very good in a state which has lost about a third of its manufacturing jobs since 2000.
And right into the district of House Speaker Paul Ryan, and the politics of that shouldn't be too complicated to understand. Let's nail down what Foxconn does, though. What's their real business?
Well, their real business is to make equipment, to make electronics equipment. They work with pretty much everyone, all the household names we all buy from, whether it's Apple or whether it's Google or Amazon. In this case, they are going to make flat screens. So that is an industry that many people thought would never come back to the United States, certainly not in a big way. So that's, in terms of manufacturing policy, what a lot of people are playing up as a big win here, to see that kind of manufacturing come back to the United States.
It certainly is a win for the people who are going to get those jobs. There's no question about it. Let's talk about the larger picture, though. Deals like this one that the president touted along with the chairman of Foxconn rarely get done on their own, even if the White House trumpets only one part of it. What's the bigger picture here between U.S. officials and Foxconn, or between the Trump administration and Taiwan?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things to look at. Number one, just from the big picture, so far this year, America has added 836,000 jobs. So 3,000 jobs is a good number. As you say, it matters to those people who are going to get those jobs. But it's really a drop in the bucket in the big context of job creation and where the jobs are coming in the United States. I think it's also interesting, as you mentioned, it's not just the White House who had a role here, but the state of Wisconsin. The governor yesterday mentioned that the state will be offering this company $3 billion in state incentives. You may remember all the outrage when there was the Carrier deal and the state of Indiana was offering only $7 million to that company. So we've gone from offering millions to try to keep jobs, manufacturing jobs in the U.S., to offering billions potentially from the state of Wisconsin. So that it's not like the Foxconn is doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're definitely right. Getting a lot of money to come and do this in Wisconsin. On the bigger picture, there's this ongoing debate with the United States and China over trade policy. They keep threatening each other to do retaliatory measures over trade and put up barriers. So, again, very fascinating that this is a Taiwanese company that the administration is really reaching their hand out to and has actually had press conferences with him three times now since Trump was elected.
So the added benefit, look, lots of benefits here. You get the jobs. You get to make Paul Ryan look really good and make him happy. He's the Speaker of the House. And you get to take a swipe at China, mainland China, in the balance. It seems like a pretty good deal overall politically. What about broader U.S. trade policy here? You mentioned the carrier deal. President Trump touted it during the transition, that he was making a deal to prevent carrier from exporting jobs to Mexico. Now, most of those jobs have left or are leaving anyway. Foxconn seems to be a little more substantial, Heather. But are individual deals like this, do they represent a viable and coherent U.S. trade policy? Are we going to get beyond touting individual deals with individual companies and hear a broader strategy?
Exactly. You just hit the nail on the head. Most people would argue, no, this is not a broader policy. They keep waiting. Last week was Made in America Week, so obviously the administration keeps trying to verbally talk up American manufacturing as they have since Trump started his campaign. But there's yet to be any major action along these lines. So when I go and talk to these workers, for instance, when I was in Wisconsin in May, a lot of these workers, and many of whom voted for Trump, who were going to lose their jobs at the GE factory there in Paul Ryan and Jim Sensenbrenner's district, they were saying to me, where's the action on trade? Why hasn't there been that tariff? Why hasn't there been bigger action on NAFTA? So a member of Trump said he was just going to rip up NAFTA on the campaign trail. Now the tone that we're hearing from the administration, they are engaging in a renegotiation. Their initial document earlier this month that came out, sounded quite tame. You know, it sounded more like, okay, we're going to, instead of Trump the bulldozer in and rip it up, we're going to more try to do some quieter, tamer tweaks to the document.
We should also add, before we let you go, Heather Long, it is a nice thing maybe for two Republicans, Paul Ryan and Donald Trump, who disagree so vehemently on trade, to be able to share a stage and deliver a win to people in Janesville or in Paul Ryan's district. I mean, Paul Ryan is a free trader. Donald Trump just pulled us out of TPP.
Mm-hmm. It was also interesting that Steve Wynn was there and Trump acknowledged him. Steve Wynn, who runs the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas and has been a major donor to the GOP. So again, another political win there with him.
And also audience. And also works in an important swing state, Nevada, which Donald Trump desperately would want to win if he ran for re-election. Heather Long with The Washington Post. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.